Just as a brief introduction, Sister Marita is a Benedictine sister from St. Walburga's Monastery in Elizabeth, just up the street here. You've been director of the retreat center for how long now?
20 years, or a little over 20.
You say it's longer than I've known you, and that's 18 years, so I was thinking around there. So
it's about, yeah.
Yes, so we'd like to welcome her, and I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you. It's good to be here. My favorite topic. And you know, I've met most of you at some point, but I'm not good at names. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't
welcome
be offended.
To the club.
What is it?
Welcome to the club.
Okay, thank you. What we're going to be, one commercial announcement. What I do is work in the Spirituality Center, and we just got a new website. If you do a search, you won't find it. But if you print up in the top browser, bensisnj.org, it'll come up, and you'll see it. So I've been working on that, too. And listening posts. So I do kind of odd jobs. but I put a lot of these over on the table there for those who you might be interested. My thought is, since I have 3 half-hour segments, and I think we're down to 24 minutes on this one, is to do a half an hour presentation of the first half of the exhortation. Then you have a break, and I'll give you a handout, some quotes from that section. Then the second half hour, we'll do the second half, same way. And then after lunch, at that conference time, that'll be a discussion period. Okay, and so if you have something that strikes you on those papers, mark it so that you don't forget, you know, rather than do it as we go along, because what will happen is we won't get very far. So I was saying, oh, this is great. And I said, wait a minute. I usually take a lot more time than this, you know, with a whole day. And you have quiet time, which I think is good. And so I printed the quotes for you to take a look at. Okay, without further ado, this joy of the gospel, or Evangelii Gaudium, is an exhortation. It's not an encyclical, okay? There are different levels of documents that the Pope puts out. And this is called an exhortation. It was based, it's called a post, I don't know, a synodal, anyway, after a synod. He kind of compiled lots of ideas that came up and responded to it. I love this book. I've read his second one, Laudato Si, which is about care of the earth. It's very good, but it's like reading a textbook. It's so full of information. This one is an exhortation. It's meant to inspire, to urge, to get us to see his vision. Okay? And before we talk about his vision, what I'd like you to do, and you can write on these or you can just think about it in your head. Don't spend 5 minutes looking for a pen or you'll miss it. But just to look at that and think of how would you respond? For those of you who are waiting for the paper, it said if you were a reporter on the street interviewing people at random, asking what they think when they hear Catholic Church, what do you think the top 3 responses would be? You're the roving reporter and you're asking off the top of your head 3 responses, what top 3 responses from people, not Catholics necessarily, just anybody on the street walking by.
Do you have more, sister?
Pardon me?
Do you have more?
Yes, I do. And then,
thank you.
Think about what would your response be if someone asked you that question. So just take a few minutes to think about that, and then I'm going to ask you what you have. And if your answers are different, don't worry. You might be standing on a different street corner than somebody else. So you'll get different answers. Okay, since this is not an exam, if you don't have three, it's okay, but why don't we just start at this end and just, we'll just go around this way if that's okay.
I'm just thought of one. Everybody needs to sit and go without that. It's only called without that.
Okay, Kristen?
I think people talk to me a lot about the Pope lately.
Okay, anything else? If you only have one, it's okay, but if you have three, that's great.
I was taking attendance.
Okay.
I just put not relevant, relativism, and archaic.
Okay.
Well, I had the Pope also, predatory clergy, the sex scandal, and Mother Teresa.
Okay. I had the sex scandal too. I also put down the abortion question. It seems to occupy a lot of our time. And I think they would say the Pope.
Very rich and the sex scandal.
Go ahead. I don't have anything right now.
Not even one?
Okay. The child abuse scandal, sex scandal, strict and high church.
Right to life.
I would say lots of rules, saints, and the Blessed Mother.
Oh, I was going to say that to the Blessed Mother.
Okay. Okay.
I also, people in the past, people when they encounter, say, oh, you must worship Mary or something like that, they still think of that. But Mother Teresa, I thought about that, yeah. And the Pope, they those are the three things that I find that come up. I don't know if they think about what you're
okay.
Yeah, some of them say the Catholic Church is a good church. I used to be a Catholic, but now I don't go to church anymore.
They said we worship Mary. We don't worship Mary, but.
Okay.
Said something about the sex abuse, something like that.
Okay. Everybody get to say what they wanted to say or have anything to add? Okay. I think, would you be inspired to join a group that's described by sex abuse, worship of Mary, strict, lots of rules? Good grief. Is that what you would be attracted to? Well, the Pope, I think, has been taking the same survey on the same corners you have, or maybe in Rome or Buenos Aires or wherever. He's very concerned that's how we're seen. And maybe that's because that's how we act. He didn't say that, I said that. But so he said, we need a new vision of church. So that's what this whole thing is about. And his vision, he says, Francis' vision of the church is one of enthusiastic Catholics who have experienced God's saving mercy. Nobody said anything about God's saving mercy. And who want to share the good news with others. Does that sound attractive? Is it true? Is that what the church could or should be? Is that what the apostles were? Sure. They had met Jesus, been with Jesus, and they wanted to share the good news. And that's what the Pope wants us to be. He said we need to be what Jesus asked us to be, disciples that go to the ends of the earth to preach God's word, to share the joy of the gospel. The joy of the gospel. And that doesn't mean there aren't any rules. But imagine, I was thinking in church today, he's like a coach of a team. And can you imagine if the coach got up there and said, now people, you're a good team, but I don't want you to fumble the ball. I don't want you to trip. I don't want you to forget which end of the court is yours. If a coach tried to inspire his team that way, they wouldn't win very many games. What do they come out saying? Win. We can do it. Nothing is too much. And so we have to be people who have good news, not just bad news. And if we can express ourselves in a way that people see the good news, then maybe they'll understand why we don't agree with certain things in our culture. They'll begin to see it. And he's also big on, you have to lead people step by step. You don't just put the whole thing in their lap and say, okay, now do it and walk away. We don't learn that way. It has to be something that we can take in gradually. Okay, that we're still on the introduction. He says, the mission is to share the joy of salvation that we experience, and it's a joy that is deeper than a moment of pleasure or fleeting happiness. We can experience joy even in times of grief. He said, you know, society tries to give this, you know, minute by minute bits of happiness or pleasure, but it doesn't last. He said, joy is something that lasts. And even if we're having a tough time, we can still have joy. So the problem is sometimes we're tempted to find excuses and complain. We act as if we can only be happy if 1,000 conditions are met. And isn't that true sometimes? Well, if this and if that, and it's, he says, I can say, this is the Pope now I'm quoting, I can say that the most beautiful and natural expressions of joy which I have seen in my life were in poor people who had little to hold on to. Joy is very deep. It's related to peace. It's like an anchor that keeps us steady when the waves of life are crashing over us. Are there things in your life that you kind of hold on to when times are tough? That's what our faith is about. There's a peace, there's a joy that we still have, even when everything else is difficult. Pope Francis is urging us, encouraging us, insisting that we find joy in the gospel for ourselves and then share it with others. He says, I dream of a missionary impulse capable of transforming everything so that the church's customs, ways of doing things, times and schedules, language and structures can be suitably channeled for the evangelization of today's world rather than for her self-preservation. So we can change all kinds of things, but what we're conveying is the message of the gospel, and we can't get preoccupied with focusing on ourselves. No, that's the downfall of many things, I think. We get self-focused rather than focused on God and faith and the things that lift us up. That's me, not the Pope. He quotes Benedict XVI, who said, being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person, that gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. Have you ever met someone who changed your life? Have you ever seen people in love and how they change? The encounter with this other person that they're in love with changes them. So a relationship, an encounter with someone can change our life, and our encounter with Christ certainly should change our life. It gives us a new horizon, he said, and a decisive direction. So it's not just saying, well, I'm going to keep these rules. Yeah, you keep the rules, but for a reason. He said, this liberates us from our narrowness and self-absorption. We become fully human when we become more than human, when we let God bring us beyond ourselves in order to attain the fullest truth of our being. Here we find the source and inspiration of all our efforts at evangelization. For if we have received the love which restores meaning to our lives, how can we fail to share that with others? When you think about it, if you find a good movie, a good book, a good recipe, a good restaurant, what do? You tell everybody else. A good diet. I've done that too much. You know, but something that really works for you, you want to share that with other people. It's a natural thing. Why don't we do that with our faith more? Why is that? That's the next chapter. We're into chapter 2 now. He said there are challenges. He lists the challenges that come from the world out there. And then he talks about the challenges that are in us. The challenges of the world. Materialism, consumerism, individualism, secularism, media, fundamentalism, seeing religion as a private matter only, the family in crisis, and a relativism that makes it difficult to find common ground. You know that thing, oh, this is my truth. You have your truth and I'll have my truth. Well, how many truths are there? You know, what's really true? After a while, nobody knows what's true anymore. The one who talks the loudest or has the biggest website, whatever it is, I guess it's Facebook now, or TV show. But all of these things work against us. Does that make sense? All right, it's easy to talk about what's wrong with out there. So he names them all. But then he says the obstacles are also inside of us. What keeps us from spreading the good news? We're too busy, or distracted, or self-sufficient to receive God's love and experience God's mercy. How can we share what God has done for us if we don't have time to receive it? So first of all, we have to be open to God ourselves. And then he said maybe we're held back by fear. We don't want to be different. We don't want to be rejected. Maybe we'll go about it the wrong way and we'll be disappointed. We have all these fears. You know, but why don't we have those fears when we're sharing the diet or the book or the movie? Maybe because they're not quite as important. Truly, our faith is more important, so we are more cautious maybe. So that's not the way to do it. It said our role is to share goodness, mercy, and joy that we've received. It's not just for me. He said some other people, though, have a problem because they don't have the right motive. You know, they're doing it as a job. This is my role, is to talk about religious things. Well, that's not very inspiring either. And it wears you out. If you're just doing it as a job, it wears you out. He said, sometimes people don't have any spirituality themselves. How can they share what they don't have? Theology's not enough. You can know lots of stuff, but stuff is not inspiring. It has to come from our own encounter with Christ. And he says, even pastoral workers can act as if God did not exist. Make decisions as if the poor did not exist. Set goals as if others did not exist. Work as if people who have not received the gospel do not exist. We get in our own little worlds, we do our own little thing, and forget there are other people out there. He said it's striking that even some who clearly have solid doctrinal and spiritual convictions frequently fall into a lifestyle that leads to an attachment to financial security or to a desire for power or human glory at all cost, rather than giving their lives to others in mission. Let us not allow ourselves to be robbed of missionary enthusiasm. He said, we have to stop fighting with each other. He says, stop warring among ourselves. We need more fraternal charity. It's a great witness, isn't it? When you have church people publicly denouncing other church people, even the Pope. I'm like, what is this? These people who want to be traditional Catholics putting down the Pope, and I'm thinking there's nothing more traditional than upholding the authority of the Pope, except when he disagrees with you. I don't get it. We need reconciliation and we need community. And we need to value the good things of culture. We mentioned the bad things, but he said, you know, there are a lot of things in the culture we have to look at and learn how to value. We need to value the roles of women and of youth. There are a lot of neglected areas. So then he says, some seek to avoid responsibility. Might take away from your free time. He said, it's as though the task of evangelization was a dangerous poison rather than a joyful response to God's love, which summons us to mission and makes us fulfilled and productive. Think about it. When you do a good thing, even if you meet resistance, there's a certain joy, a certain satisfaction that you can come away with and say, it's okay if everybody didn't like it. I know I did a good job. I know I did the best I could. And so with evangelization, if we know we're putting good news out there, even if some can't hear it, we still, you know, that can keep us going. But if it's a job, then we start looking at success. And we usually, how do we know what's successful? Well, people like it. You have to just keep being who you are and putting the good news out there. And eventually he said, you bring people along gradually. He says the change that he's seeking has to come from within, so that responding to others comes from who we are and our relationship with God, and not just a sense of one more job. Okay, and that is a very quick overview of the introduction and the first two chapters. He wants a new vision of church. He wants us to be like the early disciples going out and sharing the good news of our encounter with Christ. And then what are the obstacles? There's the materialism and the relativism and all that kind of stuff, consumerism, all those isms out there in society that influence us. We're part of society. And then there are things within us, doubts and fears, lack of our own spirituality, all those things that hinder us from within. And so what I have for you is a handout with quotes from the introduction, and there's some reflection questions, and I still have about 2 minutes here. So the questions, how often do I experience the joy of God's love and the joy of the gospel? And what inhibits or blocks that joy? Can I recall a time I accomplished something wonderful only to realize that God was at work and enabled my success? How often do I tackle a difficult task knowing that God will be at my side helping me? Or I'm out there doing it by myself. I remember when I was principal and I'd get really frazzled. And the pastor would say to me, it's not just your school. You know, it's God's school, so let him do some of the work. You know, and we forget that. You know, or I do. You know, I get so gung-ho on thinking that I'm doing everything. Well, if I am, we're all in trouble. Then the questions for chapter one. How well do our missionary efforts concentrate on the essentials? That's another thing he talks about. He says, we spend too much time talking about the little things. We need to talk about the big things. First of all, God's saving love. Then the little things will start to make sense to people. If you jump to the details without people having a clue of what's the essential message, no wonder they don't get it. How does my portrayal through words and actions invite others to draw near to Jesus' loving heart? And how can I make sure I'm preaching the gospel and not just an ideology? You know, an ideology, theory. I'm pretty much of a head person. You know, I like ideas. I like things to fit together. And it's hard to deal with the messiness of reality sometimes. But if that's all we portray are our nice ideas to make everything nice and neat, most people's lives aren't that way. You know, things get messy. And so the relationship with Jesus has to be at the core, not just our nice ideas about Jesus. Chapter 2, how am I tempted to act as if God did not exist? You know, when I get so busy, I think I'm doing it all myself. Am I tempted to guard my free time? And I don't think he's saying that you shouldn't have some free time. But if that becomes the sacred thing, then there's something wrong. Am I overly fatigued by work I do for the church? How do I grow in hope and be a source of living water from which others can drink? So,